So tonight we're going to continue to talk about the believer's advantage, which really is the believer's authority. There's no power so great that the authority of the believer is not greater still. All the demons in hell combined together times 10 cannot overcome the authority that you have because you are a believer. I call it the believer's advantage. It is very true that our spiritual condition has put us in a favorable and superior condition. And we talked last week how that man was created in the image and likeness of God. Man had authority here on earth. And then, of course, through Adam's high treason, that authority was abdicated and given over to Satan. But oh, thank God, Jesus came along. I said, Jesus came along. And he stripped him of his authority. He spoiled the principalities and the powers, and he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it, in the cross, in his death, his burial, and his resurrection. And then, thank God, he took the keys of hell and death right from Satan. And he says, I'm alive forevermore, and I've got the keys. But he didn't keep the keys to himself. He gave the keys to you. Isn't it good to have keys? Keys of authority. And he said, of course, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So he's placed the power of binding and loosing in our hands. Say with me, I've got the keys. Glory to God. Aren't you glad that the master reduced Satan to nothing? So we want to look at a text tonight in Revelation chapter 5 and verse 10. Now you and I, we can rule and we can reign in his name. And that's the name of Jesus. And that's what I want to talk to you in connection with the authority of the believer. Everyone say the name of Jesus. Now in Revelation, the 5th chapter and the 10th verse in the Amplified says, and you have made them a kingdom, a royal race. Look at yourself as royalty. Look at yourself as a priest unto God. Amen. And they shall reign as kings where? Over the earth. Not when we all get to heaven. No, but we shall reign as kings over all the earth. And what kings do is kings sit in their seat of authority. They rule and they reign from that position. And so we take our authority and we rule and reign as kings. And so exercising our authority is our responsibility. You know, a lot of times people say, well, why doesn't God do something about the devil? Well, in reality, he's done everything about the devil he's going to do. He's already defeated him. And then he told us to do something about him. He said, submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Amen. So you resist him in the name of Jesus. You resist him from a submitted position, not a loose living position. Amen. The devil doesn't listen to people that are one step in and one foot out. No. The devil will listen to you when you are submitted to God. Amen. And then, of course, we are not to give the devil a foothold in our lives. Ephesians 4:27 says, neither give place to the devil. Amen. And so, we have been given this authority. But a lot of people still have this idea, well, why doesn't God do something about the devil? You know, the Apostle Paul himself struggled with that a little bit. And I want to take a look at that in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 7 through 10, if you would, please. Of course, the Apostle Paul received abundance of revelation. The Pauline epistles are full of them, who we are, what we have, and where we are in Christ. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, he said, unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me. Notice with me that God did not send Satan to buffet Paul. The enemy came straight from the pit of hell to stop the Apostle Paul by dealing out and revealing the abundance of revelations he had. Do you see that? He said, lest I should be exalted above measure. Now notice this. For this thing I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And here's what he said. my grace is sufficient for you. Now, if his grace was sufficient for Paul, his grace is sufficient for you. And then he goes on to say, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities, I love this, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he goes on to say, therefore I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, and in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Now track with me just for a few moments. He said, my grace is sufficient. This is God's reminder to the Apostle Paul that he had authority. And this authority and this dominion was fueled by this empowering grace that enabled him to stand up against those things that came against him. I firmly believe that this is where Paul received the revelation of his authority. He realized this, that he didn't need to beg the Lord. If he didn't need to beg the Lord, we don't need to beg the Lord. Are you listening to the pastor tonight? Amen. So basically, Rick Renner says it like this. I love Rick, and he's got a lot of revelation. Brother Renner does. He lives in Moscow, and he just wrote a book. He's written a lot of different books, but he's a great theologian, if you would, and he has his own translation of the Bible in some books already. And here's what he said about 2 Corinthians chapter 12. He said, my grace is more than enough for you. If you receive it, you will find that it will sufficiently endow you with more than you need to deal with any situation. Isn't that good? Then he goes on to say, for my power is always on hand. His power is everywhere present. His power is in this house tonight. His power is in you. His power is upon you. And his power is among us. Hallelujah. My power is always available to help you in moments when you are weak and when you are needy. So what I'm talking to you tonight then is we have grace, but we also have the name. And so we can rise up and we can speak the name of Jesus. We sing that song, don't we? We say the name of Jesus over our cities. We say the name of Jesus over our bodies. We say the name of Jesus over our church. We speak the name because the name is all powerful and the name is above every name. Hallelujah. The name is above any name that you can think of. Everyone say the name of Jesus twice. The name of Jesus, the name of Jesus. So we have authority in this name. Now there was a man, he's with the Lord right now, been with the Lord for a number of years, E.W. Kenyon. And he wrote the book called The Wonderful Name of Jesus. I highly recommend you get it. He said, one afternoon I was preaching a message entitled The Name of Jesus. An attorney stood up and interrupted my sermon. He asked me a question. Do you mean to tell me that Jesus gave us the power of attorney and the legal right to use his name? I answered him with a question, sir. Excuse me. You are a lawyer and I'm a layman. You tell me, did Jesus give us the power of attorney and the legal right to use his name? And this is what the attorney said. He said, if language means anything, then Jesus did give us the power of attorney and the legal right to use his name. And Kenyon then asked him, what is the value of this power of attorney? And the attorney answered and said this, it depends on how much authority or how much power is behind that name. Ooh, glory to God. All power in heaven and earth has been given unto me. He was raised far above all principalities and powers and so on. Glory to God. So there's power in the name of Jesus. And you all know this verse so well, but I wanted to read it together with us in Philippians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, with these thoughts in mind. Ready? Read. Wherefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Amen? If you've not yet made Jesus your life, make your tongue do its duty. Hook your tongue up with your heart. Believe in your heart and say with your mouth, I believe that Jesus died for my sins, that he was raised from the dead on my behalf, and I invite you into my heart. Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Yes, he is.
I was so excited. Caleb and I and Pastor Tom and the group was together on Sunday night. We had 15 or 16 people water baptized. What a wonderful day at night it was. It was awesome. The Holy Spirit began to move up there in that tank. Amen. People were testifying that they wanted to live the rest of their lives for Jesus. It was an outward proclamation of an inward grace that had already taken place in their life. Amen. I'm telling you, the Lordship of Jesus in your life is powerful and it will change you from the inside out. Woo, glory to God. Well, I've already preached myself happy. Amen. If I went home, I'd be happy. Amen. Now, Kenneth E. Hagin, who is my spiritual father and several of you, he went home to be with the Lord, I believe, in 2003. But Brother Hagin said this in his book, The Name of Jesus. I had the privilege of editing those cassettes at that time, editing those reels when he taught that way back in the 70s at Rhema. And so I would work all day long editing those tapes and filling my heart with the revelation of the name of Jesus. Here's what he said. He said, God's word teaches us that we have the power of attorney and authority to use the name. We've been given the right to use his name in prayer. How many of you have ever used his name in prayer?
Oh, yeah.
Didn't Jesus say, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in what?
In my name,
he will give it to you. Yeah. He said, up till now, you've asked nothing in my name, but ask and you shall receive. And what will happen? Your joy will be full. There is joy in answered prayer.
Amen.
Got to preach a little bit here. We've been given the right to use his name in combat against the unseen forces around us. There are unseen forces around us. And we would do well to be aware of the fact that our battle is not with flesh and blood, but the armor that he has given us so that we can do battle in the name of Jesus and hold back the hosts of darkness.
Amen.
Light always dispels darkness. We've been given the right to use his name against all the powers of darkness. The secret to our victory lies in the use of that name. We've depended, Brother Hagin said, on our own ability to deliver someone, when in reality, it's the name that does it. It's the name that does it. And Jesus has given us the unqualified use of his name. Amen. So we talked about the name in prayer. We talked a little bit about the name in the unseen powers of darkness. Let's talk about the name of Jesus in demanding the enemy to desist in maneuvers against our lives. Or to desist in his maneuvers against someone else's life. And we find this in John chapter 14. I want you to pay particular attention to this, because it looks like John 14, 13, and 14 is talking about prayer, when in reality he's talking about authority and taking your dominion. So John chapter 14, verse 13, let's read verse 13 and 14 together. And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be what? Glorified in the Son. Now look at verse 14. He said, if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. So what he's talking about is using the name of Jesus against the powers of darkness. Now, that word ask in Strong Concordance simply means to demand something to be done. To demand something to be done. How many of you know we don't go and demand God around? He's not talking about demanding Him. He's talking about demanding something and someone else. Amen. And so we understand, he said, if you'll demand, if you'll ask or demand anything in my name, He'll do it. Now, literally, in the Greek, it says this, whatever you shall demand as your rights and privileges, that shall I do. Whatever you shall demand is your rights. So it's important to know what your rights are. Amen. It starts out knowing you're the righteousness of God in Christ, that you're citizens of the kingdom of God. Amen. And as a citizen of the kingdom of God, you've got right standing with God, but you've also got rights and privileges in Him. And it's important for us to know what those are, rehearse what those are, and stay with what those are. Amen. Now we see an example of this in Acts chapter 13. Man, you guys listen so good. Wow. Are y'all still here? You're going home. Stick around a little while. Amen. We see an example of this in Acts chapter 3. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 10. So listen very carefully. And then I'm going to move down to verse 16. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. This was a habit for them. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple and asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. What was he expecting? He was expecting some alms. But he didn't get what he expected. Because God had an altogether different thing on the menu that day for him. Amen? So he expected to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Woo, glory to God. Peter knew what he had. Peter was aware that the name had been given to him. When Jesus said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. In my name, if they drink anything deadly or anything like that, it'll not hurt them. Amen. And what those guys did, they went everywhere preaching the gospel. Preaching the gospel. They went forth. And the Bible says the Lord worked with them. And what did He do? He confirmed the word that they preached with signs following. Hey guys, same God, same name. All He's looking for is a mouthpiece. All He's looking for someone to preach. All He's looking for someone to lay hands on the sick. All He's looking for someone is to cast out devils. In His name. In His name. In His name. In His name. Woo, glory to God. In that name. In that name. He said, now rise up and walk. Glory to God. And the Bible said, and He took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. That's an immediate there. And he leaping up stood and walked and entered to them in the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Can't you just see him? He's walking, he's leaping, and he's praising God. Now, I used to be doing that better when I was in my 30s, but I'm in my 70s. Now I can still walk, I can still leap, and I can still praise God. And sometimes if the anointing comes on me, I can still spin. And sometimes I can run around the whole building. But not apart from the grace of God, not apart from the anointing. But he went in there walking and leaping and praising God. Woo! Let's see that in this place. Let's see the lame walk. Let's see the blind see. Let's see the dead raised. Glory to God. Let's see Jesus glorified. Let's see Jesus magnified.
Yes. Amen.
Amen. And all the people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was the man that was begging for alms at the gate, beautiful. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to them. And of course, they took them into question. Man, this guy was, you know, lame, and now he's walking and leaping, praising God. And they tried to make them something. But notice their response in verse 16. This needs to be our response. Read it with me, verse 16. And his name, through faith in his name, everyone say faith in his name.
Faith in his name.
Hath made this man strong, which you see and you know. Yes, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. Will faith in the name do the same?
Yes.
Faith in the name will do the same thing. Now, in closing this dissertation tonight, I want you to know, because we're going to pray for people to be healed. There's healing. Everyone say there's healing. In the name of Jesus. Again, we quoted it. In my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Be blessed in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We know that his name belongs to us as believers. But listen very carefully. It's one thing to know that something belongs to us. It's another thing to use it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen. I came with Brenda's car tonight, and I better not lose those keys. Now, they're around here somewhere. It's not enough to know that you have a key and it will work for your car to take you from A to B. If you never use the key nor the automobile won't do you any good. Same thing. We talk about the name, we sing about the name, but we need to activate his name. Activate his name. Because the harvest is great. It's plentiful. You know, when Jesus talked about the harvest, he wasn't just talking about lost souls. He was talking about there's a harvest of miracle. People needing miracles out there. There's a harvest of healing available through the hands of the body of Christ. Amen. Just know this, that his name will work for you. 1 John 3:23 says this, and this is his commandment, that we should believe, everyone say believe,
believe,
on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ. Declare this with me, I believe in the name.
I
have faith in the name. Do you know this, that you can lay hands on yourself and be healed? Anybody ever done that before? Can anyone testify in this house that you weren't feeling good? Maybe it was a migraine headache, but you laid hand on yourself and you went away healed. That's a good thing. You can lay hands on yourself. Amen. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord. 1 John 5:13 says, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life. We believe the name. We believe the name of Jesus, what it stands for, and what it means to the heart of our Heavenly Father. Listen, the moment a person is born again, he or she is expected to use the name. To use the name. Kenyon says this, I believe the hour will come when large companies of believers will live this simple life of faith. Live it unconsciously. Live it daily. They will live in this upper realm where they will see in the name of Jesus the fullness of the authority and power that was in Christ when he walked the earth.
Amen.
We're part of that family. We're part of those things which Kenyon saw. We are part of the blood-bought church. Not backing down and not backing off. But we are occupying till Jesus comes. We're going to tell as many people about Jesus as we can. We're going to see as many people healed as we can. Many people filled with the Holy Ghost as we can. In Acts 4:12. Notice that verse. Read it with me. Neither is there salvation in any other. Not Muhammad. Come on. Not Buddha. Not New Age. Neither is there salvation in any other.
Amen.
For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Say it me, the name of Jesus is the only name that brings salvation, deliverance, and healing. Now, that word salvation oftentimes in many quarters is used only for the remission of sins. But that word salvation carries with it a lot larger scope than the remission of sins. Amen. Thank God for the remission of sins. That's of utmost importance. Would you agree? But it really is only part of your salvation. And that's as far as people think. And therefore, they limit God. What do you mean, Pastor? Well, Romans 1:16, let me to explain it to you like this. In Romans 1:16, he said, "For I'm not ashamed."
Yes.
I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ.
Right.
For it is the power of God unto what?
Salvation.
Salvation to everyone that believeth. To the Jew first, and also to the Greek. Now, the Hebrew and Greek word for salvations implies deliverance, safety, preservation, healing, soundness. Salvation, then, is an all-inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into itself all the redemptive acts and processes.
Amen.
That's what Mr. Schofield says in his Bible.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. So what could we say about this? Here's what we could say. We could say the gospel of Christ is the power of God unto deliverance.
Amen.
The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto safety.
Yes.
The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto preservation.
Yes.
The gospel is the power of God unto soundness and having a sound mind. The gospel is the power of Christ unto healing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank God there's healing.
Yes.
In the name. In closing, Mr. Kenyon said, when he gave us the right to use his name to heal the sick, it was simply that he might bring on the scene by the use of the name, the fullness of the finished work, and that the afflicted one might know that in the use of the name, the living, healing Christ was present. But what about God's program today, Kenyon said? He makes this observation. If we understand his program for today, the sick would simply be healed the moment that sickness touched them.
Amen.
Amen. Stand up, everybody.